kingdom of God. You know, it's been such an incredible service already. And I appreciate the hearts of so many college students coming on up. I appreciate our teens. And God is really doing something great among us. You know, it's interesting even to know that less than 2 years ago there was about five of us. I mean, literally five people in the campus ministry. And what God has done even from there, you can see that even today. The title of the sermon today, Man's Search for Meaning. That's kind of a heavy topic. I wrote that down. I was, I don't know if... kind of a heavy topic to tackle there, and it's like what everyone's looking for. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7. I have 3 points for you today. The need for meaning, number one. Number two, everything is meaningless. And number three, the meaning of life. Luke chapter 7. Luke chapter 7, verse 18. John's disciples told him about all these things. Calling two of them, he sent them to the Lord to ask, "Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?" When the men came to Jesus, they said, "John the Baptist sent us to ask, 'Are you the one who was to come, or should we expect someone else?'" At that very time, Jesus cured many who had diseases, sicknesses, and evil spirits. He gave sight to many who were blind. So he replied to the messengers, "Go back and report to John what you have seen and heard. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, those who have leprosy are cured, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me." After John's messengers left, Jesus began to speak to the crowd about John. And he says, "What did you go out into the desert to see? A reed swayed by the wind? If not, what did you go out to see? A man dressed in fine clothes? No, those who wear expensive clothes and indulge in luxury are in palaces. But what did you go out to see? A prophet. And yes, I tell you, and more than a prophet." Wouldn't it be awesome to have Jesus talk to about us like that? Like, you know, Joel's awesome, and he's more than awesome. He's more than a prophet. Thanks, Jesus. I appreciate that, right? My dog right there. I appreciate that. "This is the one about whom it is written, 'I will send my messenger ahead of you, who will prepare your way before you.' I tell you, among those born of women, there is no one greater than John. Yet the one who is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. All the people, even the tax collectors, when they heard Jesus' words, acknowledged that God's way was right, because they had been baptized by John. But the Pharisees and the experts of the law rejected God's purpose for themselves, because they had not been baptized by John." Man's search for meaning. Right here he says, so many people rejected God's purpose for them. I want to ask you today, what's your meaning to life? I kind of went quiet in the room. What's the meaning to your life? I know it's a heavy question, but it's one each one of us should be able to answer. And yet so many people walk around not really having a meaning to their lives. And the way they live, they don't know what they do. You know, I was preparing this lesson, and I've been reading a book called Man's Search for Meaning. It's a book by Viktor Frankl. Great book. But basically, it talks about how he went through a Nazi concentration camp. And he was a doctor before he went in and after, and he was able to analyze everything in an incredible way in the concentration camp. And he was able to analyze and saw that the people that made it were the people that found meaning even in the camp setting. Wow. Even when laying in their own excrement. Even when laying and getting frostbite on their feet. Even when not knowing the next day whether the friend that sleeps to them will die or not. Knowing that, if I got a pea in my soup, just a little pea, I'm so lucky. But the people that found meaning in their life were the ones that made it. And the ones that didn't, they were toast. They were gone. And so after he got out, he developed something much, much different than any psychologist. And he developed logotherapy, which basically says that man is looking for meaning in life, and that's his primary motivational force. That he's not looking for pleasure, that you can find that anywhere. And he's not looking for power, though many people do that. But he's looking for meaning in life. You know, I was sitting at the bus stop thinking about this lesson. And I remember sitting there and thinking, oh, okay, man, I'm going to think this and do this, this, this. And all of a sudden, I was sitting at the bus stop here, and a car comes by, hits this guy on a bike right in front of me, 7 feet in front of me. And the guy goes flying. I'm a little bit in shock, like, after doing this lesson and looking, and I'm and then he gets up, and I'm like, is this guy okay? And he gets up, and then, you know, he's like, man, you piece of da-da-da-da-da-da. I'm like, okay, I think he's okay, guys. I think he's okay, right, you know? And so I think he's okay. But it made me think that this guy was going good 25, 30 miles per hour. He could have really hurt this guy on the bike. And I thought, if he would have died that day, did he find the meaning to his life? I think of those that in the shootings, and how many of them planned the next day that they would have more time to look for the meaning. And I think about that, and I thought about this guy, and how thankful he's got to be that he's got another day to live. But guys, our lives are not guaranteed. The Bible says we are like a mist. Here today, gone tomorrow. Like grass. Like lawnmower grass, just you put it in a bag, it's gone. It's swept away in the wind. The lilies. That's us. Guys, we need a meaning to our lives. You know, there's a poll that was taken among students. And I want to talk to the college students and the high school students today, man. And I think the rules apply to everybody, no matter how old you are. But there was an opinion poll taken and that showed in France, a public opinion poll was conducted a few years ago. The results showed that 89% of the people polled admitted that man needs something for the sake of which to live. Another statistical survey of 7,948 students at 48 colleges was conducted by social scientists from Johns Hopkins University. Their preliminary report is a part of a 2-year study, and they asked in this survey what they considered very important to them right now. 16% of the students checked making a lot of money. 78% said their first goal was finding a purpose and meaning in their life. Let me ask you, have you answered that question today? Have you answered what your life is all about? Have you answered that question? Because if you not, I want to urge you today. We're going to dive into the scriptures. And we're going to see the purpose God has for each one of us. Right here, the passage very clearly says that even the tax collectors, everybody was coming to Jesus, and they acknowledged what? God's way is right. Have you acknowledged that today? God's way is right. You know, people want meaning to their life. And just because you're busy doesn't mean you've got meaning to your life. I don't want to put that on out there. I talked to a lot of people, even this week, just like, what's the meaning of your life? A lot of people I reach out to. And a lot of people think, for some reason, like, being busy is like finding the meaning to your life. Like, oh, well, I'm busy, so that must mean I've got meaning. Duh, right? How does that equate, right? And for too many people, their lives are about running on the hamster wheel. You guys seen hamsters, like, you know, on the wheel? Right? It sounds like a little bit like a dog, but anyway. So you see it on the wheel, right? And it runs the wheel, and you often think, does it know why it's running on the wheel? Does it know it's not going anywhere? You know what I mean? I've thought that before. But often I think, a lot of times, we go to work, go to school, go to bed, get up, do it again, go to bed, wait for the weekend where we get to get off the hamster wheel, get to get back on the hamster wheel, and our lives turn and turn and turn, and we're not thinking about what it all means. For so many of us, I want to challenge you, if you're visiting with us today, find out what it means. Why does the meaning of life escape us? I believe there's three reasons why. Two reasons why. I'm sorry. One, we conform to the crowd. We conform to the crowd and we let others tell us what our meaning of our life should be. I mean, you look on media today, I mean, it is rampant, the types of meaning they give. You know, I was listening to a song on the radio, it talked about the sweetest girl, and it talked about cash rules everything around me. Right? It's easy, someone's talking about that, right? Right? And I started thinking, the media's telling you cash rules everything. That's the meaning to your life. Remember, 16% said, oh yeah, money's the thing that's going to get me through, right? Guys, no, we're conforming to the crowd so many times, and we're not asking ourselves, do I know the meaning for life? Now am I taking someone else's meaning? Do I know why I'm here? What does science tell us? Science tells us that, oh well, you are basically atoms hooked up together, working together, and somehow information and electromagnetic energy goes together, and then somehow these thoughts form and values and morals and ethics, and it's a very complicated process, but when it comes on together, then all of a sudden you think and you believe in other people, and you have things like imagination, creativity, love. That can easily be explained by simple scientific equations, but it cannot. There's something more to life, and we've got to know that. That's what right now. That's what science is saying. A theory of science, evolution. That really there is no real meaning to your life. Your life is a bunch of physical circumstances, and you only react to those. Do you believe that?
No.
That you're like you are just a physical person, and whatever happens to you, and it does not depend on what you live by. That's not it. That is not it. God has a meaning for every one of us. The other reason is that we have a tendency to live in the past. We have a tendency to live in the past. You know, in this book, Man's Search for Meaning, he says here, he talks about the camp and how hard of the life it was in this camp. And he says, a man who let himself decline because he could not see any future goal found himself occupied with retrospective thoughts. The tendency was to look into the past to help make the present with all of its horrors less real. But in robbing the present of its reality, there lay a certain danger. It became easy to overlook the opportunities to make something positive of camp life. Opportunities which really did exist. In other words, he said, people that lived in the past never made a difference in the now. Let me ask you, are you living in the past? Has someone hurt you in a way where you're not thinking about what you're meaning right now? That you're preoccupied with what happened years ago? Or the other part of it is, you think your best years were in the past. Now, young people, we're pretty looking forward to the future. You know, getting out of school, you know, break, you know, spring break. We're looking forward to that, you know. We're like, oh man, I'm going to be an engineer. I'm going to be this. I'm going to be that, right? But oftentimes, the older we get, the more Satan wants to tempt you to look into the past, not the future. He wants you to go after what's already happened, because then you can't affect anything. I mean, think about it. If you live in the past, what can you really impact? Who can you impact in the past? Raise your hand if you've changed anything in the past. Like, right now, you can change something that happened 2 years ago. Nobody can. You know what I mean? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense when we think about it that way. But how many of us are living for the past? Either our best stuff is in the past, we believe, or we beat ourselves up for things that have happened in the past. And we don't forgive people and love people and move on and try to do something better today. Guys, we need a meaning to our life. We need a meaning to our life. I remember being in college, still in college, man. Seems like eternally. Man. But, you know, I mean, so I remember being my first year in college and being busy but not really having meaning. I remember being in a fraternity, going to school full time, working part time, doing sports for the college. I remember having all these things in my life, in a sense, running the wheel, right? But It's when those down times are there that you really start thinking, am I content with my life? Like, really, am I content with my life? Are you content with where you are? And I started thinking that, and it was just then that God sent a person to me to share their faith with me. And I remember thinking, oh yeah, I'm Christian. I just kind of sit in a pew, and I go Wednesday, Sunday. I mean, the rapists and murderers don't do that, so I got to be better than them. And so I went there every Wednesday and Sunday, sat in the pew, just kind of looked around. Man, I'm awesome, you know. Go to my little things. And somehow that was the meaning to my life. Like even, I'm talking Christians here, right? The disciples. Even us that are disciples. A lot of us go, oh yeah, I got a meaning to my life. But have you fulfilled the meaning to your life is the question. You might have it, but then are you aiming for it? Are you going after it? Or does it elude you still? What are the things that Satan offers us? The other options. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. You know, Ecclesiastes is an incredible book. Ecclesiastes was written by Solomon, who pretty much had every single thing that we're trying to go after. He had more money than you. And the college students go, amen. You don't have that much, amen, right? More money than you. He built more things and took on more projects than you. He had more relationships with you than you, you know. He had every single thing that man could want. And yet, his conclusion was everything is meaningless. The first thing he offers us is work and money. Work and money. Is that the meaning to your life? No. 40-hour work week, right? You know, every week going through that. Is that the meaning to your life? Is that what life consists of? I want to put before you that life cannot consist of the things in life. If you believe something, there's something more than just your provisional existence, your 9-to-5 work week, there's something more. There's a reason why you're here. Then you can't believe that the things in life are going to fill your life. Let's read here. Ecclesiastes chapter 2. Let's see what he thought. Verse 17. So I hated life.
Oh, okay.
But because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless, a chasing after the wind. I hated all the things that I had toiled for under the sun, because I must lead them to the one who comes after me. And who knows whether he'll be a wise man or fool? Yet he'll have control over all the work into which I have poured my effort and skill under the sun. This too is meaningless. So my heart began to despair over my toilsome labor under the sun. For a man may do his work with wisdom, knowledge, and skill, and then he must leave all he owns to someone who has not worked for it. This too is meaningless and a great misfortune. What does a man get for all the toil and anxious striving with which he labors under the sun? All his days, his work is pain and grief. Even at night, his mind does not rest. This too is meaningless. Hey guys, does that describe you? Your mind does not rest at night. You have no comfort. Though you work and get more money, though you probably have a decent income even as we speak, that it's not enough. It's not enough. Do you work your life away? You know, it's a fact. Most people work their lives away. They spend much, much more time thinking about work and how to advance up the corporate ladder or how to get a little bit better, a little quarter raise, a little 50-cent raise, a little dollar raise, a little 5,000 salary raise, than thinking about how can I be right with God. I want to call each one of us. We've got to have a commitment to God that's more than our commitment to work. Now, work is a good thing. Don't get me wrong. Genesis chapter 2 says that God created work to be enjoyable. And now think about that. Work enjoyable. So, some of you guys are like, yeah, that's ridiculous. No, work was created to be enjoyable. It was good. But the consequence of sin changed that. And so now we see that the work is toilsome, but there's a purpose to work. You can work with knowledge, wisdom, skill, with all your heart. But is that the meaning? That's the question. Is that the meaning to your life? You know, work is good, but we've gotta see that Solomon said, "Hey, I could work for everything in the world, right? I could work for all of that, and then someone else come by, some derelict, you know, and just ruin the whole thing. I'd be CEO of a company. Oh yeah, man, I'm CEO. Look, my company went up the ladder, man. You retire, some, you know, dork comes in and just messes the whole thing up, and you're like, oh great." You know what I mean? Everything's messed up now, right? Yeah. Everything I worked for, right? Yeah. Guys, you can take nothing with you when you die. Your position will not come with you. Your money will not come with you. Your relationships will not come with you. You have got to have something more than what consists in life out of life. Are you with me here, guys? We've got to have a meaning that transcends what's in life. You know, your work may be ruined. You know, there's a quote that he makes in this book that I think is so key. People have enough to live by, but nothing to live for. It's the means, but no meaning. They have the means to live. They wouldn't know what to live for. They know what to live by, but they don't have anything to live for. And it's going to get worse, guys. We have more and more free time in our lives. You know what I mean? More and more jobs are being taken out, and we're having more and more free time. You know what I mean? Computers are taking care of a lot of things, and we're going to have more free time, but the pity is most people don't know what to do with it. They're not making an impact. The impact they make is 7 o'clock evening time with the TV. You know what I mean? And I'm not saying, and don't get me wrong, work, TV, I'm not saying all these things are bad inherently, but is that the meaning? Is that where you've got all your eggs placed? Are you invested in something more? Ecclesiastes chapter 5. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 verse 10. Whoever loves money never has money enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with his income. Is he talking to you? Are you satisfied with your income? This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them. And what benefit are they to the owner, except to feast his eyes on them? The sleep of a laborer is sweet, whether he eats little or much, but the abundance of a rich man permits him no sleep. I see a grievous evil under the sun. Wealth hoarded to the harm of its owner, or wealth lost through some misfortune, so that when he has a son, there's nothing left for him. Naked a man comes from his mother's womb, and as he comes, so he departs. He takes nothing from his labor that he can carry in his hand. Guys, is money what we're searching after here? We could go on all day, guys. We could go on and on and on and on. I could tell you about relationships. I mean, that's the thing in college. So people are going out, I found that special somebody. Brothers. Amen. If I find that special somebody, then I got meaning to my life. But then when is that? Even if you love them with all your heart, what happens if they die? Are you meaningless again? Guys, you got to really think. If what you have, the meaning in your life, can be taken away, is it really the meaning to life in general? Or is it just meaning in a thing? Is it meaning in something that's just temporary? Or do you have meaning that's going to make an impact? Do you have the meaning that's going to transform eternity? Guys, I believe it so much. You know, money is meaningless. He says, we never have money enough. We're never satisfied with our income. How many people do you know that are just content with what they got in our world? They don't want to move up. They're okay. They like where they're at. It's not a bad thing to be ambitious. On the other hand, it should be a selfish ambition. Like, I want to get up the corporate ladder so that I can make more money and I can enjoy more things I want to enjoy. I mean, that's the way our world thinks, right? And I've been there, guys. I've been there. I know working 40 hours a week, doing it in taking a break from school and getting sucked into the corporate life and then going, oh, man, this is awesome. I got a little extra money, a lot of extra money. Actually, this is awesome, you know? And then going, whoa, wait a minute. My life can be demanded from me at this moment. Luke 12 says that in the parable of the rich fool, there's a rich young fool that took all of his money, stored it in a barn. He said, oh man, I don't have enough. here's what I'll do. I'll make a whole lot of money. I'll store it all in the barn. And then I'll just eat, drink, be merry. I'll just hang out. And then I'll be living off of, you know, the income I got coming in. Oh, man, that's a good idea. And then, you know what God says? You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. I've read that. I go, dang, man. There's something more to life, guys. What is the meaning to life? 2 Timothy chapter 1. We spent enough time on all these other little things. Let's go to the real purpose of life. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Chapter 1, verse 8. So do not be ashamed to testify about our Lord, or ashamed of me as prisoner, but join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who has saved us and called us to a holy life. Not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time. But it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. That is why I am suffering as I am. Yet I am not ashamed, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that He is able to guard what I have entrusted to Him for that day. Here, Paul's giving a strong urge to Timothy, and he says, you know, God has called us. God has called us to live a holy life. Guys, you can see the nature. I mean, there's no explanation that there wasn't something that created us. That you were created special, with a purpose. You were created to be awesome. God wants to use you. He didn't just make you and then just say, oh, you do whatever you want. No, no, I want you to be with me. Amen. And He does that in very many circumstances. He did that numerous times in my life. He brought people in my life. I said, no, I don't want that. I got meaning to my life. I got plenty of money. I don't need that, right? Yeah. Some of you right now are just listening and going, I got meaning to life. I don't need God's meaning for my life. I want to just tell you, you've got to have this meaning. This is the only meaning. This is the only meaning. So many things can be taken away from you. And if it can be taken away from you, was it really the true meaning? You know, the true meaning of life should not just help us in happiness, like pleasure, money, right? But it should also help us in sadness and suffering. Guys, and when you have a meaning that Jesus Christ is Lord, that He is incredible, that He is awesome, that God's way is right, that helps you to go through the worst of suffering. That helps you to go through every single hard time in your life. James 1 says, consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Why? Why would he say that? Because this is not the end. You know, you got to look at life, it's almost like a boot camp. And then you really go out and serve. You know what I mean? This is just training. This is to see you got what it takes. And we've got to have the heart, guys, to make it through and find the meaning of all of it. You know, there was a poet that once said, he who has a why to live for can bear almost any how. He who has the why to live for can bear almost any how. If you've got something to live for, you can go through a lot. In the book, he talks about how there was men willing to give their give bread away, trade in a cigarette for a bowl of soup. There was men that would help other people, but those were the only men. Those were the men that had meaning in their life. If you didn't have meaning in your life, you're like, and you just reverted to the pleasure principle. A common trait, the question goes, okay, what is it if I have meaning to my life? The question comes, the meaning in my life. Okay, if I have meaning to my life, what's the sense of I'm not having meaning to my life? It's boredom. Boredom. It's boredom. You know what I mean? And now, I'm not talking about you're busy all the time, but I'm talking about when you sit at home late at night, and you're just sitting there, and you maybe watch a show or whatever. Are you bored? I mean, I talked to a ton of college and just bored. Yeah. Just bored. Just blah, 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 blah. Just, man, just dang doing squat. He's just kind of sitting there like, oh, yeah, my mom, I just live at home, just getting a degree and da-da-da. And you're like, guys, that's the main symptom, guys. And when you're bored, that's why people, a lot of college students, a lot of high school students, that's why they go to the pleasure principle. Well, I'm bored. Best thing I got for myself is go use some drugs. Just kind of stop thinking about this stuff. Oh, you know, I'm bored, so just go get a girl, whatever. That's the best case scenario once you don't have meaning in your life. Do you have meaning in your life? Guys, I'm just, why do you keep asking that question? Because I think a lot of people that say they got meaning don't got meaning. They say it, and they go, oh yeah, that's a good meaning. But when it comes down to the end, when it comes down to judgment, was it really the meaning God wanted for your life? The meaning Jesus gives, Matthew chapter 28. You guys might know this scripture, but amen. I'll go ahead and teach you guys there. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18.
My favorite one, bro.
Verse 16, actually. Let's go back up there. Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them at that very moment and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age. Jesus gave people meaning 2,000 years ago, and he's still doing it today. He says, this is what I want you to do. All authority has been given to me. And it hadn't been given to your boss or your parents. It hadn't been given to your best. All authority has been given me. I want you to go and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples. You train disciples and you tell them to love me with all of their heart. That's the purpose of life. God created you as a son. God created you as a daughter. And he wants to have a relationship with you. And once you have that relationship, now your meaning's to keep that relationship and get others to have that incredible relationship. To be in love with God. You know, guys, life is so momentary. Life is so momentary, and once the moment's gone, you never get it back. Think about it. At the beginning of the sermon, you have no opportunity to change what you did at the beginning of the sermon. That moment's gone. It's stored in the past. And nobody can touch it now. There is no opportunity to have any impact more than what you have been. You guys understand what I'm saying? Life consists of moment after moment after moment. And for too many people, it gets stored in the past, and then what they do is they wait till the end of their life, and then they go, wow, I haven't really done squat with my life. And that stuff, you can't change it. I want to help each one of us. Life is two things, both finite and final. It's finite because it will end. I mean, you might be the strongest dude on your team. You might be the coolest. It's going to end, right? Okay? And then the other thing, it's final. There's no going back, right? And so each one of us has to make the most of every opportunity. I want to read one last thing here, and we're going to close with this. In this book, man, it's an incredible book, and there's a lot of principles from it that, that totally Jesus preached so many times. He actually himself became a Christian through the camp. And anyway, on page 93 here, he says, naturally, only a few people were capable of reaching great spiritual heights back in the world. That means back before the camp. Very few people were able to reach great spiritual heights. But a few were given the chance to attain human greatness, even though their apparent worldly failure and death, an accomplishment which in ordinary circumstances they would have never achieved. To the others of us, the mediocre and the half-hearted, the words of Bismarck could be applied. Life is like being at the dentist. You always think that the worst is still to come, and yet it's over already. Varying this, we could say that most men in a concentration camp believed that the real opportunities of life had passed. Yet in reality, there was an opportunity and a challenge. One could make a victory of those experiences. The victory even in the suffering. Turning life into an inner triumph. Or one could ignore the challenge and simply vegetate. as did a majority of the prisoners. You know, guys, you got two options. You either accelerate or you vegetate. I mean, that's all there is to it. So many people, they're not moving forward. They're inching, but really when you look at it, they're not doing anything. Guys, let's not slow down. This is not the time to slow down in our church. This is the time to go and make disciples who make disciples. To find the true meaning for your life. To have a right relationship with God and share that with other people. Guys, we've got to accelerate. Guys, do it for God, but also do it for His kingdom. Amen.
Amen.